In today's gospel, Christ calls us to work for unity and peace. The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said to his disciples, "If your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. If he listens to you, you have won over your brother. If he does not listen, take one or two others along with you, so that every fact may be established on the testimony of two or three witnesses. If he refuses to listen to them, tell the church. If he refuses to listen even to the church, then treat him as you would a Gentile or a tax collector. Amen. I say to you, whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Again, amen, I say to you, if two of you agree on earth about anything for which they are to pray, it shall be granted to them by my heavenly Father. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am in the midst of them." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
So, tell me this morning, how would you like to be in the position of the prophet Ezekiel in this morning's first reading? God says to Ezekiel, "I am appointing you watchmen for the people." We might ask, what's that mean? Well, God explains it. He says to Ezekiel, if I send you to tell somebody that what they're doing is wicked, and you don't do it, that person will die because of their wickedness. But I will hold you accountable. How'd you like to be in that position? You're the one who has to tell somebody they're doing something wicked. And if you don't, God's going to hold you responsible. You're probably saying to yourself, thank God I'm not a prophet. Thank God that's not my role. Guess what? It is. When you and I were baptized and came up out of that baptismal font, our head was anointed with the holy chrism. And the priest said this prayer, "As Christ was anointed priest, prophet, and king, so may you live in that way." Baptized and anointed, we're supposed to be priests. We offer our lives to God in everything we do. We're supposed to be prophets. We bear God's word to the world. We're supposed to be kings, which means we're supposed to organize things, the world, the way God wants it to be. But for our purpose this morning, we're supposed to be prophets. So when God, what God says to Ezekiel, he says to you and me too. You, I charge with pointing out what is wicked. And if you don't do it, I will hold you in some way responsible. So how do you like that? How do you like that responsibility? Very difficult, isn't it? Especially in our society today. Because in our world today, especially in Western first world society, what's the great virtue? The great American virtue? Tolerance. Non-judgmental. See, we're told in so many different ways, aren't we? Everybody has a right to their own opinion. Everybody has a right to their own decisions. Everybody has a right to choose what they want. If you don't agree, if you don't like their choice, well, okay, but don't criticize their choice. Because after all, what right do you have to impose your opinion on somebody else when their opinion is just as good as yours? So just tolerate. Don't judge. But then how do we take these words of God this morning to Ezekiel and to us? When you see evil, name it. Otherwise, you're complicit. Not so easy in our society, is it? Some of us might, you know, think, wait a minute. That's Ezekiel, you know, that's Old Testament stuff. But in the New Testament, doesn't Jesus say to us, do not judge and you will not be judged? Don't judge and you won't be judged. And Jesus does say that. But we have to be sure we understand what he's saying. He's not saying that we shouldn't ever judge what somebody does as wrong. What he's saying is that we don't judge them. We can't get inside another person's heart, soul, mind, understand what it is they're doing, what they think they're doing, what their ignorance level might be, what's in their heart. We can never understand that. We can't judge them as evil, but we might have to judge what they do. We see Jesus himself doing that. That's the model for us. Remember when that woman comes before him who's caught in adultery? What does he say to her? Woman, I will not condemn you, but, he says, go and sin no more. What's he doing there? He's not saying to her, lady, don't worry about it. Everything's okay. Go have a nice day. He's judging what she did is wrong. Don't sin anymore. God is merciful. God will always be forgiving. But he does judge what she did. So, for you and me, that's what he's saying to us, I think. You see, if we don't name what is wrong, then what is wrong becomes all right. And what becomes all right then becomes acceptable in society as a whole. Just give you one example. Now, as you can imagine this morning, I don't do much shopping at Victoria's Secret. But speaking to somebody who knows the story, I was told that just here in the branch in the Mall of New Hampshire, Pheasant Lane Mall rather, the branch here, the last quarter of this year, the quarter that just finished, they lost $72,000 in shoplifting in one quarter. $72,000 in shoplifting. Now, who are those people that are shoplifting? They're not the poor people. Or not all of them, anyway. Who are they? You know who they are. But why did we get to a point? And, of course, that company is just one example. It's happening all over the country in all kinds of different ways. How did stealing become okay for so many people? I don't know how to answer that. The only thing I wonder is if somewhere along the line, when they were little or they grew up, or is this because of what they see in society, all of a sudden stealing was not pointed out as wrong. Just don't get caught. Somehow, because it wasn't named strongly enough as being wrong, you shall not steal, it's become all right. But you see, that's the point. If we don't name what is wrong and point it out, then we're complicit in the evil that occurs. Now, one thing we have to keep in mind, when we point out something as evil, we don't do that out of a stance of moral superiority. We don't say, look at me, I'm good, you're awful. No, we're all sinful. We point it out as wrong as best we can out of love for the people that are doing it and the people are being hurt by it. It's out of love. We don't want to see people hurt or other people hurt. But we have to do it. That's what God says to us today. We have to do it because we're prophets. We bear His word. Let me give you just one little thought case for you to think about today. Imagine your best friend, man or woman, as the case may be, married man, woman, comes to you one day and says, you know, I got something I got to share with you. I've met somebody else, and I'm having an affair. What do you do with that? Your best friend, what do you do with that? Now, we might ask, why did they tell you that to start with? Probably because they're a little bit guilty about it, and what they're looking for is some kind of acceptance, somebody to understand, somebody make them feel better about it. So what do you do with it? You say, well, you know, be careful, don't get in trouble. Or do you find some way of saying, you know, I think you're making a mistake. I think you're endangering everything that's worthwhile. See, because if you don't do something like that, kindly and mercifully as you can, you're condoning it. You're complicit in it. Not easy to do, though, is it? Not easy. We risk being misunderstood. We risk being maligned. We risk losing a friend. But what are we supposed to do if we take the fact seriously that God expects us to be prophets, to bear His word, carry His word? Now, as I say, it's always a word of mercy and forgiveness, but not without calling people to repentance. So as we gather here this morning, maybe it's good for us to look around our society, all the things that we find so difficult, so wrong. Why are they so widespread? Because somewhere along the line, people like you and me didn't say, that's wrong, in one way or another. So as we gather today, let's pray that we might understand, take seriously our vocation to bear God's word to the world, and that we might do it with courage, so that the world can be called to purification and repentance, and so that, especially, you and I will not be complicit in the evil that surrounds us. May God bless you.